Today I want to talk to you from the subject, Get Your Butt Out of the Way. The word as I use it in this subject has only one T, but two T's could also be applicable. I talk to people in all kinds of situations, in all kinds of places, and they give me all kinds of stories. Very often people say to me, Reverend Ike, I want to be such and such a thing, but Reverend Ike, I would like to have such and such a thing, but oh, Reverend Ike, how I would like to do such and such a thing, but. So finally one day, as somebody was telling me all of these different buts, I just finally blurted out and I said, look, you know, you could be what you want to be, do what you want to do, and have what you want to have if you would just get your butt out of the way. I want you to make some notes and I want you to start a project with yourself. I want you to look out for every time you use the word butt. And you'll find out in many cases that the only thing that stands between you and what you want is a big butt. And you'll discover it's your butt. And I have quoted the prophet to you time and time again. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. Let's quote that scripture together again. Come on. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, and keep the door of my lips. You're going to hear me quoting over and over again ad nauseum for a while. What you say, S-A-Y, is what you get. The word is so important. So many people misunderstand what the Word of God is. The theologians don't have the slightest idea what the Word of God is. So let me tell you again what the Word of God is. What you say about yourself is the Word of God to you. Now, it may take you a few minutes to digest that a little. I want to repeat it again, and I want to put it in the first person. What I say about myself is the Word of God to me. Together, what I say about myself is the Word of God to me. If I say I am poor, that is my word, and that becomes the Word of God to me. That becomes the word which determines my experience. That becomes the word which determines my expression. If I say I can't get anywhere, if I say I cannot succeed, if I say I cannot prosper, if I say I can't get a hold of any money, if I say I can't hold any money, if I say nothing works for me, if I say that I'm born to lose, then that is my word and that becomes the word of God to me. And you're never going to get any further in life than the Word of God, meaning your word about yourself. The theologians tell us, for example, about that wonderful scripture that it's some big God sitting up in the sky, the scripture that says, my word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. We've been taught that that's some big God speaking from the sky. That is not true. This is the truth of the word of every man. The words that go forth out of your mouth, they're not going to come back to you void. They're going to accomplish something. There is creation in your every word. There is creative power in your every word. And I'm going to put that in the first person and have you affirm it with me. There is creative power in my every word. Together. There is creative power in my every word. You see, the infinite has given it to you, the individual, to speak your word of creation. And each person creates his own world by his own word. In the book of Genesis, the first chapter, we are told that God spoke the world into existence. And so do you every day, every time you open your big mouth, you speak your world into existence. And every time you say, I would like to be, I would like to do, I would like to have, but you put a but in your way. Now don't think again, and I want to pry you loose from this misconception. Don't you think for a moment that there's some word of God spoken from heaven to you that determines your experience? Not so. The word of God that is spoken by you in your own heart becomes the word of God to you and controls your experience. So if in your heart, if you want to be delivered from any situation, you believe in your heart and feel it in your heart and see it in your heart and say it and confess it, you'll be saved from negative conditions. But notice this, the word is near thee and it's even in your mouth. All you've got to do is to believe it and say it. Now, there are different kinds of buts that people put in their way. And I'm going to find out right now, or rather let you find out individually, what kind of buts you've put in your way. Some people say, Reverend Ike, I'd like to be, to do, and to have such and such a thing, but I don't have any money. This I'll call the no money but. And I'll ask you, and let you examine your heart. Do you ever put the no money but in your way? Let's do some confessing here. I do believe in confession, you know. You see, but we confess and forsake. Not enough to say, yeah, I did it and keep on doing it. But here again, that wonderful book of psychology, the Bible says, if you confess and forsake your sin, you'll have mercy. If you release that error out of your heart, if you release that error out of your mind, if you stop practicing negative thinking in your mind, you'll have mercy, you'll have help. So let's talk about this no money but. Stop and think for a moment, and I thought about this morning in my meditation. Most of the great fortunes, most of the great industries, most of the great institutions in the entire world started with no money. The great fortunes possessed by the great multimillionaires in America today, if you go back to the beginning of that family fortune, you will find out that most of those fortunes started with what? No money. Everywhere you see great success and great riches, it is not difficult to trace it and find that it started with no money. But what did it start with? An idea. Everybody say, idea.
Idea.
Nothing except an idea. But here is the great mystic and actual secret. You see, everything begins with an idea. If you have an idea, you're rich. If you can accept the idea of being wealthy, that in itself will bring you and lead you into the mechanics of becoming wealthy. I can be very personal about this. And go right back to the press conference in Detroit when a German newspaper reporter asked me the question, Reverend Ike, what can you say to the people who are unemployed? How can your philosophy be practically applied in their case? I said, well, I'm a good example of that. I started this multi-million dollar ministry with $200 that I saved up from unemployment compensation back in 1959. I started it with an idea. Let everybody say, idea.
Idea.
Shout it again.
Idea.
And as long as you have an idea, don't say, I don't have anything. If you have an idea, you have everything. Because to tell you the truth, every idea has its own mechanics built into it. Please write that down. An idea never comes to you without the mechanics. Without the modus operandi. Now, the intellect cannot see the modus operandi. The intellect may not be able to see the mechanics. But every idea has its own mechanics built into it. But you have to believe in that idea. You have to learn how to feel that idea. Don't think for a moment that Henry Ford started out as a wealthy man. He didn't. Henry Ford became a billionaire. Not a millionaire, but a billionaire. And by the way, anytime anybody says to you, Reverend Ike is a millionaire, correct them. Millionaires are so common, and you know I'm not common, I am. And what did Henry Ford start with? Henry Ford started with an idea. What was that idea? Transportation. Horseless carriage. And because he believed in this idea led him to take all of the different mechanical steps to develop the idea of an automobile. It was over his wife's kitchen sink that he held a little contraption that was to become an automobile engine. Had his wife to drip gas into it drop by drop at one stage. And then he got a dentist to make the first spark plug to regulate fuel injection. An idea. The power of an idea is unlimited. Say that with me. The power of an idea is unlimited. And often people say to me, Reverend Ike, you tell people to think positive, but how practical is that? I'm telling you now that believing in an idea is practical because the idea will lead you step by step to take the right action. It will bring you together with all of the right people for every right purpose. Now, perhaps very few people know in the automotive world today that it was a dentist that made the first spark plug. Didn't look like the AC spark plugs that we have today and the other sophisticated spark plugs, but the first idea, manifestation of a spark plug made by a dentist through the idea of an automobile working in the mind of Henry Ford and became a billionaire. And you know, so many people tried to dissuade Henry Ford. Give up that damn fool idea. Preachers preached against it. Call the automobile, as Henry Ford would drive about the streets around Detroit, called it the devil's horse. That's why I tell you, don't you pay one damn bit of attention to these preachers. They're always the last to catch on to any damn thing. And then after it gets going, in spite of their preaching and their damnation, then they want to get on it. Now all the preachers have devil horses, you see. The mind that does not understand the processes of creation always criticizes the creative-minded person. This is why, again, the Master Jesus said on one occasion, cast not your pearls before swine. That's why you don't go and try to blabber out everything I tell you here to somebody who does not understand it. When he said, cast not your pearls before swine, he wasn't talking about people. He was talking about those low states of consciousness which do not appreciate creative ideas. See, everybody is not yet in the state of consciousness to appreciate creative ideas. Everybody is not at the state of consciousness yet to get their pie now. Some of them would rather wait for it. And this upstart Reverend Ike comes along and tells them, look, you can have it now. That's too much for them. They've been so busy going through hell trying to get to heaven. Don't tell me that I don't have to do that. My mother did it. My father did it. My auntie did it. My uncle did it. And it's good enough for me. So don't bother them. You just go on and let your light so shine. And after a while, they'll come inching around and they'll ask you. Oh, I find it so amusing sometimes, and you're really going to find out within the next 12 months, you're really going to find out how much this mind power teaching has really spread. And some people are saying it even outwardly. They're admitting it. The world of business and industry is so full of so many multi-million and multi-billion dollar affairs which have started with no money that you cannot any longer use the no money but. The question is, can you let an idea reveal itself to you? Just open your hands and your heart and say, Lord, reveal a money-making idea to me. Come on. Lord, reveal a money-making idea to me. God in me, reveal a money-making idea to me. Come on. God in me, reveal a money-making idea to me. And if you open yourself to it, it will open itself to you. Whatever you open yourself to, it will open itself to you. So stop using that I would like to, but I don't have any money. There's another but that people put in their way. They say to me, Reverend Ike, I would like to be, I would like to do, I would like to have, but what would people say? And forgive me for being so rough, but damn what people say. Damn what people think. It's what you think and what you say that determines your life. That's the trouble with so many people, why they're so frustrated in life now. Too many of you, you've been living your life by other people's thoughts. You know, when you reach a certain age so that you become accountable for yourself, you can't even live by what mama thinks anymore. God knows my mother in the flesh loved me, and she still does, because she understands me better now. But you see, by experience, she was conditioned to a life of a rural school teacher, making $65 a month. And she was conditioned to this. And so she did not open her mind to higher finance. And even when I was small, and I would talk a lot of nonsense about what kind of car I was going to have. Here we are walking down the dusty road. No busing in those days. The school bus passed right by and dusted us up. And here we are trudging down the road, tired and hungry and sometimes cold. And here I am talking about what kind of car I'm going to have. And not only that, I would see a stick beside the road. And I would pick up that stick and hold it in front of me and make the noise of a motor. In school, between the lessons she would give me, I would take my notebook and try to draw all kinds of cars. You see, the intellect didn't know what was happening, but it was in me. Let me tell you, these Rolls Royces were in my mind. They had to come out. Now I understand it. You see, that's the idea that was germinating in me. And sometimes my mother intellectually would become vexed with me, and she would look down at me and say, boy, the trouble with you is that you've got a big mind. She didn't know how right she was. I say to her in the spirit every once in a while, I'm doing all right, Mama. If you have an idea, that idea will lead you into the modus operandi, the what to do and the how to do. And it will bring you together with all the right people. Now, you stop living by other people's thoughts. So, you see, I got to a certain point, I couldn't even permit my thinking to be confined to my mother's type of thinking. I had to go beyond that. And another thing, and I'm constantly telling you about this, you can't really get so tight with little-minded people. Even if they are your relatives. Don't ever put yourself in a situation where you are constantly having to unnecessarily fight negative thinking. Change your beauty parlor. Send your wig out and you stay home. And meditate. Drop your wig off on your way to work. Susie, here's my wig. Have it done by this evening. Throw it in the door and keep going. With a lot of negative-minded, little-minded people. Instead of spending all those trips, all of your money and your time going back home where you came from, go somewhere else. Go back and talk with Aunt Janie. Aunt Janie, how are you? Well, John. She's sitting there in the same rut that she was sitting in all of her life. You see, all of this is a psychic pull on you. And they're going to tell you all about who died. You go somewhere else, meet some new people. People ask me, you ever go back where you were born to visit? I said, hell no, I haven't been there in years. So glad I'm here. You don't owe it to anybody to talk negative talk with them and to think negative thoughts with them. Remember that. Because it won't help them and it won't help you. So I tell you also every once in a while, change your phone number. So get that what will people say and what will people think but out of your way. You see, you just be sure that what you want to be, to do, and to have is right and good. And when you're sure that what you want to be, to do, and to have is right and good, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. I remember one interesting spiritual we used to sing down yonder, however. It was, if you don't go, don't hit me. See, that's another thing, you know. Don't spend too much time trying to drag dead weight along with you. If the wagon you are hitched up to does not want to go, damn it, unhitch and move the hell on. Husband wagon, wife wagon, mama wagon, daddy wagon. And the wagon gets stuck in the mud, unhitch. Move on. So I remember that from the country. Many times the wagon would get stuck in the mud. You can stay there if you want to. But we'd unhitch the wagon and go on. Take the mule and go on. Can always find another wagon. I was walking in meditation up in the mountains in Monterey, California. And the second time, I had somebody else walk with me because there was something I saw the first time that I wanted to show to somebody. There was an old dead tree that had fallen against another tree. And the weight and the pressure of that dead tree against the live tree was causing that live tree to bend over and over and over. I said, son, you see that? I said, what that other tree should do is just... It is not your responsibility to go through life carrying a dead weight. Carry any dead butts, B-U-T-T-S, through life. Say with me, it's not my responsibility to carry any dead weight through life. Come on. It is not my responsibility to carry any dead weight through life. You see, self-responsibility is really the only responsibility that you have. And when you try to be responsible for somebody else, you hurt yourself and you don't really help the person. You only truly help other people when you can make them aware of their own self-responsibility and help them to live up to their own self-responsibility. You don't help your children as they grow up by letting them more and more become a weight on you. You should more and more teach them self-responsibility. Self-sufficiency, self-direction, and self-discipline. Don't let your relatives come and live with you on and on and on for nothing. If you have relatives somewhere else who want to come and live with you, that's fine. But when they get there, you have the employment columns all laid out. Don't be anybody's gravy train. I know this isn't the kind of talk that you church folks are used to. I know you're taught to be meek and humble and mousy. When I was in Alabama, I spoke to a very lovely group of people, and their motto was, people helping people to help themselves. And that's really the idea of helping people. Help people to help themselves. But don't help anybody to be a damn bum. Don't help anybody to be lazy. Don't help anybody to be shiftless. Don't help anybody to be a burden to society. And there's a difference between being good and being goody-goody. One of the problems in this country with the social situation today is that we've had too much goody-goody. So that the point in the city, they're turning off the people who are working and loading up the welfare rolls. Who in the hell ever saw such nonsense? Out of politics again, quickly now. There's another but that people use sometimes. But I don't have enough education. First of all, you get all of the education that you can. I believe in that. And very frankly, I don't care what you people say, but the situation is in this wonderful country today that anybody who really wants an education can get one. That's why I stopped giving out as much financial aid. Why the hell should I spend money to send somebody, to pay somebody to go to a fancy high school when they've got the school right around the corner and won't go to it? You really want to go? You can go. All kinds of grants and scholarships available. Don't come to me crying anymore about the teacher doesn't like you, the principal doesn't like you. What formal education I got, I worked for it. I walked for it. And damn it, you're going to work for yours. And whatever I have, nobody gives me something for nothing. What you good people give me, you give it to me because of what I give to you. And if I didn't give you something, you wouldn't give me anything. And you shouldn't. Like the reporters in Chicago at the press conference, was a fantastic press conference. It was closest thing to a riot I ever saw yet. A couple of the black rabble rousers wanted to know, Reverend, what are you giving? What are you giving? I said, I'm giving positive self-awareness and positive self-motivation. No, but what are you giving? Yes, and said, well, that ain't S. That's what he said. When I said positive self-motivation, positive self-psychology, that ain't S. That's what they said. Don't let it upset you. It didn't upset me. And they just carried on there for a while. Finally, one lady said, look, I've been here a long time. I'm tired because I flew in here. We traveled, however they got there, from Birmingham, Alabama. Said, by Reverend Ike's help, I opened a nursing home. And so another one of those black rabble rousers, that's why I don't pay them no damn attention, said, well, how much money did Reverend Ike give you to help you open your nursing home? She said, and it was the most beautiful thing I ever heard. She said, he gave me the inner strength. See, once you get the idea, once you get the inner strength, everything else will come. Once you get the positive self-motivation, everything else will come. Once you know who you are in God and who God is in you, then all of these things shall be added unto you. But you see, this is such a blindness. It's the blindness of the scribes and Pharisees that Jesus talked about. Positive self-awareness is the one gift that keeps on giving. Positive self-awareness is the one thing that is everything. And until a person becomes positively aware of himself, you can't really give him anything. Put him in better housing, you tear it down. In better housings and put a bathroom in every damn apartment, they'll use the elevator for an outhouse. Why? Because of a lack of positive self-awareness. No respect for self or anybody else. See that old be nothing, do nothing, and have nothing consciousness? You can't give it anything. Can't give it a thing. And I want to make it clear that what I'm giving is not soup and sympathy. I don't care how black you are, I don't have any soup and sympathy for you. I don't care how poor you are, I don't have any soup and sympathy for you. All I have for you is positive self-awareness, positive self-motivation.
Give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. Teach a man how to fish and you feed him forever. I'll teach you how to fish so you won't have to be worrying me for fish. You won't have to be begging the mayor for fish. You won't have to be begging the governor for fish. You won't have to be begging the president for fish because they're running out of fish. So I want to make it clear that this is the commodity in which I deal. And let me tell you, the so-called poor people and the so-called minorities have got to come to this point where they understand the value of positive self-awareness and positive self-motivation, and you're lost until you do. And here again, positive self-image and positive self-motivation are not just simply things that minorities need. Everybody needs it. The rich are rich because they have a rich self-awareness. And the poor are poor because they have a poor self-awareness. The same thing that makes the rich get richer is the same thing that makes the poor get poorer. And I'm trying to turn you on to this. And once you get turned on to this, this is the kingdom that Jesus was talking about. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Get all the education that you can. You have an opportunity. But even a lack of education in your later years is not a but to be in your way. And I'm thankful to say that here in this ministry and all across the country, we have grandmothers that go back to school. I'm always getting certificates from people. Once again, some of the people who became the wealthiest, the people who had a lack of formal education. If you really get an idea in your mind and believe in that idea and believe in yourself, nothing will stop you. So get that I don't have enough education but out of your way. There's another but that people put in their way sometimes. But nobody will help me. I wouldn't have been standing here today if I didn't get that butt out of my way. Nobody will help me. Black folks won't help me. The white folks won't help me. The mayor won't help me. The governor won't help me. The president won't help me. I can't get any help. Please let me share this with you. If you believe in yourself, and you motivate yourself, and you make a start, other people will be inspired to come and help you. Many of them perhaps will be strangers. You see, I have a habit, when I decide to do something, I don't ask anybody. You see, that's another thing. You have to be so sure about what you want to be, to do, and to have, so that you don't go around asking other people's opinion. Anything that you got to go around and ask other people's opinion about what you should do, you're not ready yet. That's why I'm an autocrat. I can't work with any board of deacons in this church. Because too many times the deacons are the dickens. This building was purchased, and the deed signed while I was physically in California. And I just simply sent you a telegram down to the Sunset Theater and told you we had bought it. And then you helped me pay for it. Didn't you? We have over $2 million in it and don't owe anybody a cent on it. Now, if I had come back down to the theater and said, well, members, there's a building that I would like to buy, and if I told you that in the space of some 5 years it was going to be an investment of over $2 million, You see what kind of response I would have gotten. But I just told you what I had done. He said, now we're going to pay for it. And we never questioned it. We went right on and paid it. See, my faith inspired your faith. My confidence inspired your confidence. And your confidence in yourself will inspire others to have confidence in you. Many great entrepreneurs who built great businesses and industries in this country went to banks and financiers, and those banks and financiers loaned them money with no collateral but the reflection of the self-confidence of that man. As I told you before in the treatise, Money, What It Is and How to Get It, your self-confidence is money. Your self-confidence will draw all men unto you. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. What does it mean? Whatever good idea I lift up in my mind will draw all necessary manifestations unto itself. Will draw everything necessary for manifestation. Lift up the idea of health in your mind, and it will draw unto you the manifestation of health. Lift up the idea of success and prosperity in your mind, and it will draw unto you the manifestations of success and prosperity. Believe in yourself, and others will believe in you. But as I've told people again and again, you have no right to ask other people to believe in you if you don't believe in yourself. So just get your butt out of the way. I've had people to help me, to come to help me, who formerly didn't even believe in me. But I just kept on believing and knowing that my cause was right. And secretly, they just turned around and started working for me. Some of them I was surprised. One last but that we want to get out of the way, and it's a big but. People say, Reverend Ike, I would like to be this, I would like to be that, and I'd like to have the other, but I'm black. So now we're going to get this black but out of the way. As a matter of fact, the black butt has been used too many times as an excuse and a cop-out by too many black people. The first physician that performed open-heart surgery was a black man. Pages of history record the great accomplishments of many minorities. And black won't hinder you unless you make a stumbling block out of it. So let's take down this smoke screen of blackness. The Bible tells us that the Lord is no respecter of persons, meaning the law of mind is no respecter of persons. And the law of mind is, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And it has nothing to do with color. If in your heart you believe that being black, or being Jewish, or being Puerto Rican, or being anything else is a hindrance to you, it's just a but you'd put in your own way. I like the way the Jewish people do it. It is said that they didn't want the Jews on Miami Beach, and so they bought it. That's why you'll never get me going around with a bunch of rabble-rousers shaking a fist talking about black power. Black power without green power is no power. And I told you, when you get enough green power, people won't care what color your face or anything else is. I've told you this time and time again, but I really should tell it again, and I'm going to tell you. I'll never forget the first time I went to preach at the Rivergate in New Orleans, Louisiana. My director of operations, who happens to be a Jewish gentleman, had never been that far into the deep South, and he had never encountered any of the old-style Southern race prejudice. So after the meeting that night, he went out, just before the meeting let out, he went out to get a cab and to sit in it so that I could dash right out and go back to the hotel with him. And as he sat there in the cab, these thousands of black people came pouring out of every door at the Rivergate. And the white Southern gentleman who was driving the cab looked and said, I wouldn't ride one of them in my cab. And so my director of operations simply said to him, well, there's one coming. But this one can buy your whole fleet of cabs. To which he replied, well, I don't mind riding him. And he didn't. When I go to New Orleans now, they send their high-ranking officers to my room to personally escort me all the way to the platform. They drive all the way up behind the curtain with me. Green power. It's wonderful that Dr. King and all of the other marvelous people and organizations broke down all of the rules and regulations for you black people. And you know, I can talk about black people because I used to be black myself before I turned green. It's wonderful that all of these wonderful people opened up the doors of public accommodations for all of you black people. But you see, that isn't enough. It's going to take positive self-awareness and positive self-motivation so that you can get the green power to take advantage of these new opportunities. Let's stand. So don't let me hear you talking about, I would like to have, I'd like to be, I'd like to do, but I'm black, but I don't have any money, but I don't have enough education, but what will people think, but what will people do? Get your butt out of the way. And every time you catch yourself using but as a stumbling block in your way, quickly move it. Place your hands in the receptive position. Repeat this with me. Right here and right now.
Right here and right now.
I'm not going to put any buts in my way.
I'm not going to put any buts in my way.
I choose the good that I wish to be.
I choose the good that I wish to be.
I choose the good that I wish to have.
I choose the good that I wish to have.
I choose the good that I wish to do. And I make no ifs, ands, or buts.
I make no ifs, ands, or buts.
I believe in this God in me.
I believe in this God in me.
I believe in this good in me.
I believe in this good in me.
And I open my mind to right ideas.
I open my mind to right ideas.
I open my mind to healthy ideas.
I accept a healthy idea about myself.
I And this healthy idea about myself
heals me.
This healthy idea about myself
keeps me well,
strong,
youthful,
active.
Thank you, God, in me.
I accept a happy idea about myself.
And this happy idea about myself
makes me a happy person.
Connects me with happy people.
And brings about happy conditions.
Thank you, God, in me.
For happiness.
I accept a loving idea about myself.
Correctly.
I love this good in me.
I love this God in me.
I'm a loving person.
And I am love.
This love of God in me
connects me with all of the right people
for every right purpose.
And as long as I love correctly,
as long as I'm right with myself,
this compels me to be right with everyone and everything.
And everyone and everything
are compelled to be right with me.
Love is the compelling power in my life.
Thank you, love of God.
Thank you, love of God.
Thank you, love of God.
I accept a prosperous, successful idea about myself.
And this prosperous, successful idea
leads me from success to success.
From prosperity to prosperity.
I accept the idea of money.
I see myself with money.
I feel it.
I understand my relationship with money.
I'm not afraid of money.
I understand that money is my servant.
I am not the servant of money.
Money loves to serve me.
Money loves to fill my hand.
Flow, money.
Flow.
Money loves to fill my pockets.
Come on, get your pocketbooks, ladies, and touch your wallets. Come on now, we're going to magnetize them.
Money loves to fill my wallet.
Money loves to fill my bank account.
Flow, money, flow.
Money loves to fill my savings account.
Money loves to flow in my life.
I see myself with more and more money.
I see myself with money making money.
Money making money.
You got the vibration. I felt when you hit the money scale. Somebody say the money scale. In the consciousness and the spirit and the blessing of what you've seen and heard. Rise, shine, give God glory. Rise, shine, give God
your way.